Good. Thank you very much, distinguished delegate from the Netherlands. And this addresses one point that I was to make. I think that at this juncture, what I intend to do for us to, for all delegations to have an idea as to to have a good compilation of what has been suggested by delegations is that we'll try with my colleagues with the ISU to circulate all contributions that the ISU received and as they received. So we are not going to pass any judgment on the contributions. It will just be a compilation of what has been presented to us. And then we put this up or we circulate via email. I don't know what would be the idea. We can do both. Send via email to all delegations and put in the web page of the ISU as received by you. So without passing judgment or making any sort of judgment. And by the end of our first reading, then we will make an assessment as to whether the circumstances require the reissuance of our draft text and when we would then be exercising again our judgment on the basis of what colleagues have indicated or what could be, to say, this very narrow space in which the chair finds itself in aspects that there are two very well-defined camps. So that's how we stand today, but by the end of our first reading, we will be in a better position to assess the entirety of the report to see how it has been received in its different sections. And since I still have the floor and we have a few minutes, and before I give the floor to the Future of Life Institute, I'll just say where I believe we are at here in sections 20, in paragraphs 21 and 22. I can see Mark, I mean, everybody clearly highlighted how important those two paragraphs are and that they are at the nucleus of our deliberations, and they have been taken up with sobriety and the seriousness that they require. But still, we could see that there are two very clear camps that we could see that on the one hand, those that are not, that have not ratified all the instruments of international humanitarian law, and that they would see that they, that those obligations do, are not applicable to them, and then they would prefer in the war of the models, if you prefer, if you agree with that determination, that they would prefer should rather than must. And also they would like to see at each and every instance or as frequently as possible some sort of language that would provide some sort of escape clauses or exit ramps, while others see that we should not decrease or bring down the level of obligations that already exist in the international humanitarian law and that many members around this room are already committed to. So this is the sort of dilemma that we have to find so as to have the find the exact balance between not bringing down the level of ambition, but also at the same time providing the necessary solace for those that are not obliged by their national obligations. So this is the sort of issue that we have to deal with. And then you have other, particularly I would say in the 21B and 21D, the circumstances related to language that some feel are not explicitly part of the obligations under international humanitarian law. We have seen some attempts to try to bridge those gaps. I would certainly encourage delegations to try to reach out to each other and see if they can find a suitable compromise. Another aspect that has been made abundantly clear here is that there is some doubts as to what would be the exact intent of the chair when dealing with the deployment, development, and use of autonomous weapons, and others that would prefer language that would refer to the life cycle, that would be, I would say, a more neutral formulation. So then we have to see how we can go beyond that. And then in the end, again, it rests with the ultimate complicated issue as to whether we are just stressing international humanitarian law or other international law instruments, and how we are going to find the exact balance between all of them. All in all, I would say that in concrete terms, the divergences are not immense in terms of language, but they actually conceal quite substantial differences in perception. And this is the sort of thing that we can only, we will be only able to bridge in a direct engagement and see, I mean, where the balance among delegations is situated, or whether some people feel really strong about that or not. So this is the overall comments. We also have some additional new language that has been proposed, and then I was, again, as I mentioned to you, those new paragraphs will be circulated to you, and I would like also in the future to get your reaction to those languages that have been provided. So that's where we find ourselves in. We have two requests for the floor. One is the, again, under agenda item 5, the Future of Life Institute, and then the delegation of Norway would also like to take the floor. We have 3 minutes, but we can extend a little bit. I hope that the translators will bear with us. The Future of Life Institute has the floor under Article 5.